Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to HJT Design Radio Straight Talk, a show dedicated to exploring all aspects of creating a great dental office, where the only dumb question is the question that's not asked. Here's Jim and Han.
Good evening, Jim Jarvis here, along with my co-host Han Tran and our very special co-host, Dr. William Hunsinger. Good evening, gentlemen, and welcome.
Good evening,
Jim. Great to be here.
Excellent, excellent. Well, episode number 67, Straight Talk. Tonight's topic, COVID-19 shutdown. Now what? Obviously, we're all dealing with the situation. Three of us are sitting in our homes dealing with the issue. We're not able to get together. We're not able to do that. Your practices are more than likely in the shutdown mode. And so, you know, there's a lot that is going to happen in the future. Dentistry as we know it is changed as of today. The design of dental offices has changed as of today. The old standards may or may not be applicable anymore. So tonight we've got it's going to actually be a multi-part show because there's way too much to talk about, way too much to go over. And so we wanted to kind of set the stage, and I want to open it up to Bill in the sense that, you know, obviously you're dealing with direct situation with the practice. What are you trying to accomplish right now, or how do our listeners maybe gain from what you're doing?
Well, Jim, there's a lot, as you know, there's a lot going on because you and Han and I have been in contact a lot. I have to tell you that I've also been in a lot of contact with staff members, my partners, my accounting people, my banking people, my supply guys. We've been in constant contact about what's going on and how we're going to deal with it. Just to give everybody a quick background, I have three general dental practices in Northwest Ohio. I have one in a town called Swanton, Ohio, that has 12 ops. I've got another one in Sylvania, Ohio, that has 12 that we are in the middle of adding three more. And I've got a practice in White House, Ohio, that's got five operatories. And I've got two locations for orthodontic practices that we're running. And we also have a dental lab, Crown and Bridge Lab, that we have. So the number one thing that we obviously did, and it was funny because we were sitting there, I think it was a week ago Sunday, listening to what was going on and listening to the governor of Ohio talk about what was going to happen. And my partners and I all got together on a giant text message and decided to close the office late Sunday afternoon. So we ended up calling our patients for the next day and just telling them we didn't know what was going to happen, but we were closed. So as you know, this closure is extended. People in different parts of the country are dealing with different issues, different stay-home orders and all kinds of stuff. Ohio, Michigan, Indiana, I believe we're all stay-home right now. I think our deadline moved another week out when Governor DeWine was talking. And what we're all doing is we're practicing social distancing, proper hand hygiene, and then we're also working on trying to maintain our practices. So number one is we are still seeing emergency patients. The Ohio Dental Board and the ADA and the Ohio Dental Association give us very specific guidelines to follow. We've been following those, and we have doctors and staff available to take care of our emergencies. So that's number one. Our goal has been always to try to keep our patients out of the emergency room and out of the hospital system so they don't clog it up. But again, we're trying to flatten the curve. As patient, we actually have all of our emergencies coming in by appointment. They're spaced out. I don't think we've ever had two in at the same time. Again, social distancing, We've changed our PPE. We're making sure we have gowns and shields and gloves and all kinds of things on. We find this is especially important if you have any aerosols or any kind of fluid that's going to be coming off a handpiece. So all of that is stuff that we're going to be dealing with. I'm sure many of the guys the dentists on this call have already been working on it and thought about it. We're reviewing the old video on if saliva were red, what would you be doing? And so there's a lot of things to deal with as far as patients and staff. We've also looked at all of the paid family leave options that are in this new aid package. Whether to get we've given staff having used their paid time off right now. There's issues with dealing with their health insurance. They lose their health insurance. There's a lot of things we've been talking to account. I've actually been talking to my insurance people too. So we have gone forward and applied for the SBA loans, extended credit, and again we're waiting to get more information. On the other end, like I said, the we've been trying to figure out how do we change the office around. What are we going to have to do in the office? And poor Han and poor Jim have been getting bombarded with questions from me and on design and materials and what kind of things we need to change. So there's a lot going on right now. We are developing resources for that. I can't tell you how many different things I've looked at on all these different topics as far as how to deal with it all. But it's going to be very, very challenging to take care of this. As a small business person, obviously you guys all understand that cash flow is king. So there's a lot to do. But I got to tell you guys that this reminds me that I'm kind of old. I graduated from dental school in 1980. And at that time, when I was in dental school and for the first year years in active practice, I was seeing patients with a coat, with a tie, a white shirt, dress pants, dress shoes, my little name tag on my coat. And if I wouldn't need glasses to read, I wouldn't have glasses on. And I didn't wear gloves. And I didn't have a mask on. So you can imagine the dark ages of dentistry back when I started. And this particular change is going to be kind of similar to that. I mean, I can't imagine doing dentistry now without my scrubs, my face mask, my glasses with side shields, my magnifiers, my light, and my gloves, obviously. So we're going to obviously have to upgrade that. In my mind right now, the assumption is everyone has something, and right now it's COVID-19. But, you know, I think back and I wonder why I didn't have hepatitis and all sorts of other diseases we could have caught. You know, over the years we've been made very aware of different communicable diseases. I mean, HIV was really a big issue. The Ebola was one of the most other recent issues. So personal protection and proper equipment, and then how to tear down and put rooms back together, how you're going to handle that, how you're going to staff it, what do we do with PAs. My mind is going a million miles a minute trying to figure out what is the next thing to do. So Han and Jim, why don't you review some of the questions that you've been getting from me about some of the things that I've got you working on and some of the things that you are looking at.
Well, without a doubt, Han, I'll let you talk a little bit about, I mean, we've, like I said, the design of dentistry has now completely changed. The flow, how things function, because we've talked about before in our shows that, you know, you create a design around how that space will function. Well, now it's functioning totally differently. And so, Han, let's talk a little bit about some of that flow, some of that design, some of the things that we've talked about just in the beginning and how things may change. Han, you there? Did I lose you?
I'm still here, Jim.
Go ahead.
Okay. This conversation will lead to many other conversations in greater detail. But
yeah, it's just the tip of the iceberg.
That's right. And so in general, what we had talked about is how do we contain or how do we minimize exposure between patient to patient? We have looked at the existing facility that how do we compartmentize if that's necessary? The surfaces of materials that we have, the type of technology that's available presently that's used to scrub the air, just a slew of stuff. And we came to the conclusion that what was normal yesterday is no longer applicable. Because everything that you do have cause and effects. So we discovered that technology that are used predominantly used now could affect the material and break it down. So we are in a major research mode. When Bill was talking about, looking at the social distance, your treatment room your waiting room suddenly is too small. So there is a change in the protocols of, or should I say, you have to look at review and how you can implement so that way the waiting room doesn't become a place where people exchange viruses. Okay, it reduced the exposures. We have also talked about how do you protect the staff at the front desk. Do we go back to that old method or the old design of having sliding windows? But sliding window would not be the way to go. But it would be more like the banking systems, the bank teller windows and things like that. So there is a there's a huge change, like Jim say. It's needless to say, it still has to be efficient. It still has to have good flow. So it would be very interesting.
Yeah.
Jim?
Well, we've got a situation. Things are not as they were, but the whole point is that you've got to get a patient from the parking lot to the front door, through the front door, checked in, brought to the clinical area or the hygiene area, depending on where they're going, what procedure they're having done. Procedure's done, back out, checked out, and then back out to their car. So in a nutshell, that still is the same, but the actual flow and function of it is totally different. Are we going to have, and I ask these questions of you guys, are we going to have lobbies full of people anymore? I don't know.
Probably not. I don't know if any of the guys saw it. I think it was on it was on my computer today because I was looking at it again. And they were showing people somewhere. I don't know where it was. It was a place where the weather was nice. And people were actually standing outside in empty parking spots, or at least 6 feet apart, waiting to go into an orthodontic office. So, and one of the early adaptions, one of the things we talked about, if we were going to be stay open, were that we were going to have patients drive up to the office and either text us or call us, and we would go out and get them and bring them directly from their car directly back to the treatment room. Now, this is totally different than what we've done in the past. In fact, Han, did we not have a criteria? We had a bunch of criteria. Think about these criteria we're going to have to deal with. So back in the day, and I believe municipalities still have this, is that you have a certain size building, and you have to have a certain size parking lot to handle your patients and your staff. Is that not a regulation in some communities where you have to have so many parking spaces and we have to have so many handicapped parking spaces available?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Okay.
Okay.
So let's talk about that, huh?
Well, in some municipality, they have a mandate of how many square feet per vehicle you may have. Suddenly that was usually the minimal requirement. Okay. Naturally for a dentist office, you'll have more, And the reason why you have more is because the old protocol is always you have, let's say you have a six chair practice. You have six patients in the chair, and you have six more in the waiting room. You have six staff, six clinical staff plus the doctor and the administration. So you can easily have 20 to 24 parking spaces. The new regimen, as we were talking about, if you go from the car to the chair, there is no longer people waiting in your waiting room, but you may have, hopefully you don't have them all lined up in your parking lot, okay? Because you're going to have to tighten up your schedule to see the patient, so they're in and out and turn around, almost like a drive-through at McDonald's. Get them in, get them out, and get them on their way. There's a lot of criteria still the same in terms of parking, all that stuff. But I think the biggest impact will be how the space is used inside the four walls.
Let me interrupt you for just a second. So we have an issue with parking spaces. Hopefully everyone has enough, or they're not regulated by this. But think about how you're going to – are they going to call or text? That's something we're trying to figure out right now. We already know that we don't want anybody – we don't want somebody to come along with them, basically. I know the orthodontist that I'm working with is when they do start up, they're advising that only the patient, the child, or whoever has the orthodontic come in into the office. And, in fact, we also look – because orthodontics has a lot of common spaces – where they're changing bands and things. The good news is most of them have almost no aerosols. And I can't remember, Han, if we've actually got the chairs spaced, the proper space in between our chairs.
Yes, we do.
In the one ortho office. I know the other building actually has, was an old medical office, and it has a door you can actually close, which seems brilliant now these days. That building was built 40 years ago, and I think we just redid it probably 8 to 10 years ago. So, but we left all the doors and the walls up. So Han, back in the day, how many chairs you used to figure out for a reception area? Didn't you figure that the reception area had to have so many chairs and so much space based on the number of operatories?
Well, that's how we have always done it, based on the number of operatories you have. Okay, so it's you have the in general is that if you are a general dentist. You have six chair, you use 1.5 or 2 factor. So it's either 9 or 12 chairs.
Out the reception room.
And in your reception, yes.
Right.
Yeah.
If you were to create a lobby now with 9 or 10 chairs, it's going to be half the size of your practice.
It'll actually have to be bigger if you're going to space the chairs apart according to the new standard. And I don't know this. Are we going to assume that this is the first of many issues? And when I was listening to the doctor today talk about it, she seemed to think that this could be the first of two more waves of this of coming through here. That's happening. So we could have another wave of some virus like this next year and the following year.
What if there's a mutation down the road and it's COVID 25?
What do we learn from this? Well, do we learn that we really need to design spaces to have space between the patients and have it and do away with a lot of our old thought processes? So there are certain things that we thought were set in stone, right, guys? Like, well, you got an office this big, this many operatories, you need this many chairs in reception room. These reception rooms to be X or Y big, and your parking lot is this many spaces. You got to have so many for handicap, and you got to have so many for your employees, and then you got to start looking at the footprint of the whole building on the lot. And then you got to go through all the normal processes that we've had to do over the years with setbacks and easements and all this other stuff. But now, which these guys are really good at, I'm going to tell you, Now we have to start putting together, okay, what is the requirement? I mean, guys, I love laying out dental offices and thinking about dental offices, but we've had a certain amount of control over the regulations that we're dealing with, you know, the laws with dealing with entry points. Like, I've got my office set up to where there's not a step in the whole place. Han, what are we talking? We're talking about the clearances for wheelchairs and all that.
I mean, there's still you know, when you deal with handicap and stuff like that, there's still reasonable accommodation. Okay, the general rule of thumb is the code tell you you have a minimum requirement. Let's say, for instance, the width of the corridor. We usually go wider than what's the minimum, all right? One thing that's very predominant in the design of dental offices that the code normally don't push is that your corridor, in the old days, your corridors, all of your operatory have doors, and they're all fire-rated doors because the corridor had to be a one-hour rated, enclosure. So every door... you don't have openings. You have doors, okay? For some reason, you know, in the last 20-plus years or so, they migrate away from that, and code officials don't really enforce that very very strictly. But that may change, okay?
Well,
because
we have
we
have no doors in our most of our newer buildings. It's a dual entry, more of a rear delivery system that has a column with all of your stuff in the column and a dual function chair, and it faces a window. And mm-hmm. we've also been very careful to make sure that the openings are set to code so that people can get in and out of those doors. And for instance, anybody who has a handicap in a wheelchair can get in and out of our building, get in and out of our doors, get in and out of our bathroom. How wide is my hallway, Jim, the big one, going down the middle?
6 feet.
So 6 feet. So you're going to have to pin yourselves against the walls to maintain your 6 foot difference if you're going to pass in that hallway.
Yeah, it doesn't work with the new criteria. Now it's huge compared to the previous criteria. I see an option.
There's a workaround. Go ahead, Bill. I mean, there's got to have to be a workaround. Like one person in and out. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff. And again, we don't know how long this will go. You know, it's like sometimes we have short memories, like we have all these fires, and then we put the fires out, we readjust, and then all of a sudden we forget about what the actual criteria are and what's going on. I think this is going to be a little more long-lasting because I haven't seen ever seen anything like this, ever. So
because it's so contagious and easily transmitted when people don't even know they have it.
I mean, I've never had my dental office closed this long, ever.
Right.
So,
and so to be able to mitigate that happening again in the future, we have to adjust. We have to adjust the way the new dental office looks so that you don't have a situation that you end up having to close this because the next virus that comes down the line causes this exact same thing to happen again.
So as you can see, what there's a good chance of happening is we already have certain codes for allowing entry of people with various handicaps to get in and out of buildings, and Han has said, yes, there are accommodations. But I'm thinking we're going to see a series of changes in the regulations to accommodate this particular issue that's going on. And I see all kinds. I mean, you can sit there all day long and think about all the things you can do to change. Like right now, I've got all my reception room chairs at least 6 feet apart. And all, I think there's half of them were put away in the basement. So we're just like everybody else. A lot of you guys have this. Okay, think about what you have back in your office right now. You've got the family room. So you've got your fireplace. You've got your nice big couch, your big cushiony couch. You've got some nice comfy chairs. And you got all your magazines and your drinks and your coffee and all this other stuff. And that's all got to change. I know that as a patient, I'm not going to sit on a couch next to Jim. I hate to say this, Jim, I love you, but I'm probably not going to sit on a couch next to you. And
right. I can't hold my breath that long.
Right. So if we're not going to take everybody back one at a time, and we are going to have some sort of a reception room, we're going to have to figure out, well, what the heck are we going to do? And all, I mean, you know, I mean, I'm really old, as you can tell, so I still used to have the paper there and some magazines, but those are gone. We used to have some informational brochures. Those are gone. We used to serve coffee out there. That's gone. I have a pinball machine. Don't touch that. Don't go near that. All the kids' toys are gone. The kids' little chair area is gone. The video game's gone. The stickers are gone. The little prizes are gone. It's pretty barren. So
it's a totally different world. I can see a situation that if you've got a patient, that has to have someone with them. They go back with them to the room. They don't sit in the lobby.
Well, actually, that's going to disappear, Jim, because I really don't want a patient sitting in the room with that person at risk for aerosols and all kinds of stuff flying around the room. So,
right. Well, that's true. Unless that patient is unable to move themselves, and you know they have to have a caregiver.
And then the person would have to come back and leave. Like we used to have the new patient experience where we walk them through the whole office. I see that going away. How are we going to sit down knee to knee and present treatment to a patient with somebody for the front desk? I don't know how that's going to work. There's all kinds of stuff. So you really got to rethink what you're doing. Like we have a staff room, so we all have to sit 6 feet apart in the staff room. We have a locker room. How do we handle people going into the locker room? So it's a big change. So I'm not exactly sure how we're going to deal with every one of these circumstances. That's just the procedure
of the space, and we haven't even talked about the design of it.
Right, and so Han and Jim have been tasked with. And if you guys go out and look at the research, there's all kinds of research. So I'm watching the news today, and they're telling me that cruise ship, after 17 days, they still could detect COVID-19 on the ship. So that's kind of like, oh, wait a second. I thought that there was only so many days on each material. And I know that both of you guys have looked at that. In fact, that's one of the things we're looking at as far as do we change the materials that we're using? So
more likely, yes.
Yeah. So where we are going to be with this is if you're going to be building something new or remodeling something, because we're like right now we actually have the floorings in. Is that what we got? Where we are?
Yes.
No walls.
Yes.
So no walls yet. So we actually are thinking about, well, what do we want to have countertops? Do we want to have any countertops? If we do, do we want to have any drawers? If we have, or and what are those going to be made out of? And are we going to change the type of flooring we're using? You know, these guys are looking at all this kind of stuff. And do we want to change the lighting? Do we want to have some type of UV system? Do we have a UV system? How does that affect the materials we're using? How are we going to handle doorways? What are we going to do with doorways? So door handles, aren't door handles regulated, guys? Isn't there only one kind of door handle you're supposed to put on now? Like on
they are.
You have a lever type, so but you know there's a number of declarations, but you can go to do automatic doors just like at the hospital. You know, you push the button on the wall. And you don't have to touch the door, but then again, you got to push.
They
got to
touch the button, though, Han. They got to touch the button.
Yeah.
That's right. Or you can go to automatic, automatic sliding door, or door that are sensored, like what you have at front entrance of shopping centers.
We have automatic doors in both of our offices. In fact, we actually designed our offices because I'm such a visionary, right, Han? We have a covered area where you can actually pull up under a covered area, and there's an automatic door. There's an automatic door, and then there's like a vestibule, and then there's another automatic door. You come on into the office from there. So we kind of set that up. But obviously not everybody has that. So what a lot of guys are in condos and they're in rentals and they're in old buildings and old houses. And I mean, you name it, you can put a dental office in it. But what I'm starting to see is that if aerosols are truly a problem, and right now they say the research is out on how aerosols, how long they last, and does it really carry the virus? But in my mind, if the virus is in saliva, then we've got an issue. In fact, we really have an issue anyway, because saliva can spread all kinds of stuff. And dentists are so used to being in spit all day. The unusual becomes the usual. Can you imagine, Jim, that you got to work in spit all day? Or Han, what about you working in spit all day? Would you think that was a little unusual?
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be a problem, Bill.
Yeah.
I try not to drool my drawings, by the way.
Yeah. So as you can see, there's a bunch of stuff that we're trying to figure out. So guys, why don't you give a quick overview just on one thing, and that we're still researching, and one of those little things right now is how air turns over inside a building or a room. And I don't know which one of you guys wants to start on it, but I'll let you go.
Okay. The traditional way to heat and cool your building are forced air systems. We can see that to be something that needs to be addressed because, again, aerosol, you know, it just gets blown around in the air current.
Rumor has it that it's in the air about 30 minutes. That's the latest. I don't know whether it's real science or voodoo science, but if you look on the internet, that's what Dr. Google's going to tell you. So based on that, Han, keep going.
All right. So anyway, the code requires a certain air exchange in commercial buildings. I do believe when we talk to engineers, it's around six fresh air change per hour. We see that, and that's typically for commercial buildings. Okay.
So wait.
We see that.
Let me ask you a question. So six air exchanges per hour. Okay. So six. So that's every 10 minutes it's supposed to turn over. Is that what you're telling me? The whole building turns over every 10 minutes.
Basically, yes.
Okay, so that actually would be a good thing.
Yes.
Right now. Okay, so that's a good thing. Okay, keep going.
But we are looking at ways to increase that. So the more air exchange, the cleaner the air indoor. The downside of that is cost. So every time
now,
that you
Han,
change...
Can I interrupt? Because I want to make
Go
sure
ahead,
everyone
Jim.
Understands when you say
well,
six
but Jim,
air,
I want
air
one
changes.
Of those fancy gizmos in my so that I can clean it like as it's coming out of their mouth. So
exactly.
I'm sorry, Jim.
But
Go
I'm
ahead.
Saying when you said six air changes, that's air changes within the room or the building. It does not mean fresh air that's came in from the outside. It means air
right.
changes. It means that air, okay, that's in my operatory has been changed, as Bill said, every 10 minutes. And it's circulated through the system, but it's recirculated air. So you're just moving the stuff around. It gets some fresh air in, but nowhere near that level. It gets a little bit of fresh air in because of infiltration or because of minimum code. That may be one or two. Maybe two if you're lucky. So we're just still moving the same virus, germs and bugs and everything else all around at the same time. And it's going through the system and going through a filtration. Okay. So when you say
okay,
six
so
air
Jim,
changes,
so,
it means
so Jim,
six
I,
air
I,
changes
I,
of the same air. Go
okay.
Ahead.
So let's go back. Let me interrupt you because I'm really stupid. So I got this new house. Actually, I didn't get a new house. Let's talk about my old house. My old house, a guy comes, puts a new furnace in. Okay, the first guy sold me one of these electrostatic things because there's a dog and a cat, and I got some allergies, and boys have allergies. So I got one of these electrostatic things with some type of a HEPA filter, and then I think later they didn't need electrostatics. You could just get the super duper HEPA filter to clean the air up. So would that take care of a virus or a bacteria?
It depends. It depends on what level they are.
Okay.
Yeah, there are filtration systems that will take it all the way down to the 0.125 micron, which is what this particular virus is. A human hair is 0.3.
So a HEPA filter could take the virus out of the air. Is that what you're saying?
No, not a normal HEPA filter. It has to be what's called a super HEPA filter, one designed to take something out. It has to be a 0.1 micron. So that's one of the highest levels, or in this case, lowest levels in size of filtration. It's an extremely small filtration screen that it has to go through, which taxes your system greatly, because if your system's not designed to run with those kind of filters, take an old, if you have an old house or an old furnace, and go get one of those high energy efficient filters and put in it. See if you get any air come out of the registers.
Well,
it doesn't happen.
I was going to say it has to be denser, because it's trying to stop stuff from going through it, and it's very
dense, and it's super dense. So the normal HEPA filter now won't cut it. It has to be a special high end.
What you're telling me is that I can't put one of these super filters on my three zone HVA system that I'm running probably in all my offices right now.
No.
Because they're not going to heat and cool properly, because the airflow actually is going to be slower because it's going through the filter. So if we don't correct,
you're going to reduce the airflow greatly, and
so we're trying to get better airflow. So we're trying to get better airflow to turn the room over more often, but we're just going to be turning dirty air over if we do it that way. So if we add the more efficient filter to the system, what's going to happen is we're not going to have either proper heating and air conditioning, plus we're not going to turn the air over
enough.
So you have to
mitigate the system, meaning you have to adjust that system and or add to it, or maybe even replace it, so that it is designed to take that kind of filtration system. So it's a multi-level approach, and you're going to have to look at it in a multi-level way. It's kind of like, the Band-Aid. It's the belts and suspenders method. You're going to, belt holds it up, but if that belt breaks, the suspenders will make sure your pants don't fall down.
So right now, in fact, this is a little interesting story. So we are adding these three operatories on, and we're redoing our HVA system in that particular part of the building, because we have to add on to it anyway, because it wouldn't work with the main system. Is we are coming up with some ideas. So what is the idea that we decided now, guys? What did we decide to do?
The hybrid system that we're thinking about is one where the previously designed furnace is going to be upsized slightly so that it still fits within the room that we've created, but it will be upsized in the sense that it will have a much higher airflow. So that's an anticipation that we're going to be adding a higher filtration unit. As Bill said, the super HEPA filter systems will be placed in line, so you have these super HEPA filter cartridges that have to be changed out so often, which, by the way, are extremely expensive. Okay.
Can we do ultraviolet?
Ultraviolet. And that's the second.
Will kill. And I don't even know. Actually, guys, there are no real studies. Just to throw it out there. So, I'm going to wander off the reservation for a second. So. Right now, I just read all the regulations. I just got a at-home. Believe it or not, I get to do all my CE online this year. So I'm doing my online CE studying all about infection control in your office. And one of the issues that comes up is that UV light may kill it. Well, actually, they don't even know for sure. And actually, when I looked at the EPA site for EPA-stamped sanitizers and cleaners, I don't believe any of them have actually been tested with COVID-19. I think those tests are going on right now. They've basically taken another virus, which they think is like COVID-19, that they've used in these tests. And hopefully they are correct, which I'm hoping they are too, obviously, and I think they probably are, is that if it kills virus A, which is like COVID-19, then all those EPA
registered sanitizers and things that you can find on the EPA line will kill it. And UV does kill certain of them. In fact, I'm just going to shut up. So Jim, talk
about the data that I've got is from my sister, who's in charge of this kind of stuff for her company, and deals with infection control and deals with germs and microbes and everything else, because her business is in the cosmetic world. And so, it's very important that everything comes out of that factory germ-free, and I mean extremely sterile. And it's a matter of level. UV light, if you get enough UV light, you can kill anything. So it's just a matter of...
We could try Johan with it, huh? Can we get Han?
We could do... You can do literally anything with UV light. I mean, it's that powerful, but it's the intensity. So... If what we're thinking about is we would be putting a UV light transmission system in the ductwork at the return air grill, so that all the air that gets sucked out of that room goes to the unit, it gets treated by UV light, gets run through the HEPA filter, all right, that's your belts and your suspenders. So at least you have two opportunities to get anything that got away from what you may have done with wipes or anything you've done within the room, anything you've done with your hand pieces or collection at the mouth, anything that you've done there, but some of it still got away. Then it gets sucked into the system, the ductwork, the air handling system, and then we catch it there. That seems to be the most practical solution at this point. And then the potential of whatever we do and other things.
What we're talking about with our the operatories we're adding on right now is an improvement to our HVA system.
Right.
Now,
right.
If you've got it, again, if you guys have got an old HVA system, or you even have one that's like you think is halfway decent, like the ones I have. In fact, we have a new one in one of the offices. You've got to have an expert look at it and. Because it's a totally different deal. So just to tell you guys, I was on a site called, I think, Dental Hacks, I believe, and they're putting up all kinds of ideas to cut down on aerosol. And one of them is they have this giant suction going into a little, looks like, stand that's got saran wrap around it. And you take the little stand and stick it over the patient's head, and then you fit your hands through it. It's like one of those little boxes where you reach in. And whatever you're working on is under glass, and you're trying to get rid of the thing. So what I imagine is the patient suffocating underneath the saran wrap gizmo. So and they actually show these dentists and like they almost look like the old radiation suits with.
That's interesting, Bill.
Oh yeah, it's fascinating. Well, if you watch an old movie about radioactivity. Actually, watch the Andromeda Strain sometime. That'll give you an idea of what I'm talking about. It's a really old movie about a virus that basically kills everything. And actually, what happens is I don't want to tell you the whole thing, but the thing mutates and it's not good. So, Andromeda Strain. There's my movie recommendation for all of you guys who are trying to figure out what you're going to do with trying to corral this thing. So that is one aspect of some of the stuff we're working on. Let's just go UV one more, Han. Let's talk about UV light bulbs, Han, in the operatories. How do you think that affects our operatories?
Well, I think when Jim brought up that it's an application that his sister specifically used, I think we would have to look at how – Well, you can't use it during the day, but switching out the...
I want to have a light system where I just put a two, I've got like a, I got like two four bankers in my operatories, I think.
Yes.
And for some reason we have them at a certain lumen so we can like tell what color teeth are, right?
Right.
Can I just change two of those bulbs out? Would I be okay?
No, it would affect the lighting, the lighting level for you to properly match, the filament material. So what we talked about is to possibly, add another fixture that has just dedicated switch that uses the UV light, so that way you still have the capability to do your clinical needs with the overhead light and have a dedicated light that you turn on at the end of the day to do the air scrubbing with UV light. So that,
right.
That
we've
is
even
what,
talked about portable lights, right? Even like a portable light.
Yes. I think, at the end of the day, that what, the technologies and the cost, yes, there is portable unit that you bring in to, to kind of wash down the room with UV light. But I think, and we don't have enough information in terms of how long it takes to do that. So there's another thing besides the UV light, and Jim haven't mentioned yet, is that there's portable air scrubbing machines that we're investigating to see how it, how it can handle the entire building.
So those would turn the room, that would turn the air over quicker in the operatory.
It's standalone, so it's not attached to your HVAC system, but it will actually clean out the air in the room and, eliminate the, or should I say reduce the,
so
the
it's
aerosol.
Kinda, so
and,
it's kind of like, so I can, well, wait a second, huh? Can I go over to Lowe's and buy one of these?
No, I mean, this is specially designed for healthcare facilities, and it has a higher level of performance for very specific tasks. So the air filter system that you find at a big box, they basically move air around and might clean, clean dust
looking,
and stuff like
looking,
that.
And we're looking at a couple different ones, and I'm going to tell you guys, this is our teaser. Tune in next week, and we'll have more information about how it's going to work. So I just
absolutely.
I've been looking on Amazon for like sanitizer for like 2 weeks now. Of course, there isn't any. And if there is some, you can't get it for, right now, in fact, I just went on, I think it's May 15th or 7th for sanitizer. And I just looked at UV lights, and I looked at like 7 or 8 different types, portables, light bulbs. And right now they're saying May 5th or May 27th. So,
wow.
That's a long time to get something. That's Amazon. So, guys, let's be honest. How many UV systems have you seen anywhere ever in a dental office? I've seen zero.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen none. And so we're very used to a standardized regimen, which most of us have. They have like what? And if any of you've got these, we work with a company called, I think, MedSafe, and they help us comply with OSHA standards. And I believe the standard is you take a cavity wipe and you go do wipe. Isn't that it? Or something, wipe dry, spray, or spray wipe. So anyway, we're dentists are very used to that system, and we're looking at different technologies as to what to do in the operatories. We're looking at wrapping things better, like computer screens and TV. Guys, we've got these giant entertainment centers in our operatories right now that we're going to have to figure out how to either keep using and protect, or we got to get rid of them. Are we going to have more of an OR type deal? So, and it's interesting to me is that in the hygiene operatories, we may be looking at a lot of the same issues because of piezos and Cavitrons, which form an aerosol. So, again, maybe I'm being stupid. Maybe this aerosol thing isn't as dangerous as they say with saliva, but I'm thinking it's still not good. I still think it's an issue. So, we're talking face shields and do we really need a 95 respirator versus our 99.99 mask that we're using? So there's all kinds of things going on. So these guys, Han and Jim, are doing a lot of research on this. So we're going to have more information on how are these air filtration systems better? I'm actually leaning toward portable units because the patient walks in, they can see the thing in the operatory, so they know that we're working to give them the cleanest air possible. So it's a good visual. And you can change the filters, and you can move the unit if you have to. And if that unit is no longer viable, mm-hmm. you don't have to go in and change out your whole HVA system and have a huge repair or a huge change out on the whole HVA system. So we're going to have more information on how efficient they are, and about how long, what is their shelf life, how long are these things generally going to last. And so we'll have more information about that next week. And I know I know these guys love talking to those people, don't you guys? Don't you? They love talking to them.
and we do. And Bill,
are they busy? The portable... Are these guys busy? Are you thinking they're busy? I'm thinking they're kind of busy.
Yeah,
I think everybody's swamped.
Yeah, they're very busy. But, you know, it's one thing I want to point out, guys, and obviously each doctor's practice is going to have a set of different solutions. There's not going to be a one magic bullet that's going to take care of this for everybody.
Oh, come on, Jim, you're killing me.
I'm sorry. Each one's going to be different because... Yeah, I'd love to have that magic bullet too, and usually you get a really big bullet and it takes care of everything, but unfortunately that's not the case. We're going to have individual, unique solutions for the individual dentists, because their office, maybe they only have a 3,000 square foot or a 2,000 square foot, and they have a unit that there's nothing you can do to, an HVAC unit. Then maybe it has to all be done by portables. Or maybe it has to be done by a combination of portable and something else. Or maybe they're in a situation like you are, Bill, when we're doing an addition, right now is the perfect time. Upgrade that system. Your old units are at their maybe potential end of life, and so you have to replace them anyways.
Yeah.
And then you do a multi-phase, and you upgrade those, and you've got your whole building covered. It becomes a cost-benefit kind of relationship, and you look at the numbers. Because we all know that no matter what happens, this is going to cost money. It's going to cost some amount of money to be able to put this stuff into these rooms and to protect these buildings, get rid of all this aerosol stuff that we're talking about, get rid of the saliva particles that are all over, and mostly get rid of the viruses that are being transmitted by them.
Yeah, and I think we would have to approach this on a case by case. You know, it's very similar to doing a treatment plan for a very, very large, complicated case of a patient. So it has to be looked from a very comprehensive approach to look at everything and then come up with a strategy and plan of how to attack it. So each facility, because the way they may be designed, the way traffic or flow and stuff like that, have to be analyzed on an individual basis and then come up with a strategy to tackle that. So unfortunately, we don't have the silver bullet to handle everything the same way.
Right. So if you're out there listening, one of the things you can think about right away is that whatever you're doing right now, as far as your inoperatory PPE and sanitation and cleaning, you absolutely have to minimum do that. And then you have to look at more of an OR type situation for sure with aerosols. There's no doubt in my mind that that's going to come with shielding and a surgical cap and a surgical gown. And then you guys, I'm personally trying to work out how I'm going to check hygiene patients and do all this all at once. So we feel we actually have to slow down our practice. Slowing down our practice is obviously going to hurt us financially. So we're trying to figure that out. I'm sure all you guys believe that all your PPOs are going to absolutely pay you more because of the higher cost. I just know you guys have already got that figured out. I just see Delta writing me a bigger check for my MO composite I put in number 3. I just feel it because they know that I have all these increased costs of PPE. So in fact, I believe we tried doing a PPE fee with them years ago, and I don't know if it worked or not. I can't remember, and I think we did away with it because I think it doesn't work. I think we need to look at it again. Can we charge a separate fee for PPE? I'm sure if we go on one of the social media sites or Dental Hacks, we'll probably get some answers from that. But I'm not pushed that because I've been thinking about everything else to this point. So we're 8:54.
Yeah. There's one quick thing that I want Han to address, and we were talking a little bit about the show. Han, you were addressing don't overreact. You want to talk just a little bit about that?
Yeah. Yes. I mentioned to Jim that, in the heat of the moment, we can throw money at perceived problems that doesn't necessarily solve it. We have to look at everything, dissect it a couple of times, and analyze what solution it can bring, what value, long-term value it can bring, and then execute it. Because, you know, yes, we all want to solve and kill this virus, but at what cost? So I think we're researching, we're looking at everything's on the table, and we're going to analyze it, and then we can come up with the strategy that would best suit it for the particular practice, in this case for Bill, and then we can share all that information. But
telling you guys are speaking directly to me. I know I can see this. So I will be the lab rat. We will experiment on all of these different and many varied solutions that we've been talking about so far, which we've not been able to give you a tremendous lot of details tonight, but we will have more in the future.
Cost-effective
solutions. Yeah, cost-effective solutions to office design and technology on how we deal with this COVID-19. So that's where we're going with this. So since I'm in the middle of a project and I'm that guy who wants to solve any issue yesterday, I would urge everybody to take advantage of what we've got here. Because, again, you've got an architect who specializes in doing dental offices, and he's done a lot of other projects all across the country. And then you've got a dental office designer who's on Dentaltown, who actually moderates that site on office design, who's looked at thousands and thousands of plans, has been very active in making sure that the codes are followed in offices, and who obviously going to be all, he's got this code thing printed on his forehead, and he's going to be very good at understanding codes and regulations and what we are going to need to do. And then you've got, I'm slightly involved in trying to make offices run in an efficient manner, delivering high quality care to patients, and taking care of their safety and staff safety, and making sure we follow all the OSHA regulations and help solve this problem and this challenge that we've got going on right now. So it's eight. We got 3 minutes, Jim.
If anyone out there has any questions or would like to specifically talk to us about their specific issue that or what they're looking at trying to solve this with, please call. You can get a hold of us. You can email us. The information's on our website to get a hold of us. Give us a holler. We're here to help. That's why we exist. You know, get the advice of an expert. And Hans' point is well taken. Don't just jump at the very first solution, throw a bunch of money at it, because it may not be the right solution, or it may not be enough a solution, or it may be a solution that, oh crap, it only works part way and I got to put more into it. If I would have known, I would have did something different. You know, we don't want you to be in that position. And we're doing
give
our
numbers, Jim.
Yeah, I mean, obviously you can get us on our website, get us at our website. It's the easiest. Go to www.hjtdesign.com and everything's there. You can email us.
We actually have a construction guide, which we actually just decided that we're going to have to update.
There's going to be a new one created that actually deals with this. Yes.
Right. And then there's a way to contact us and call us, and there's setup appointments. There's all kinds of different ways to contact. And you can be specific. Do you want to talk to Hans? Do you want to talk to Jim? Do you need to talk to both? Do you need to talk to me? But there's ways to do it. I'm much more available now since they're making me stay home. So my wife gets tired of looking at me, so she loves it when I come in my office like tonight and I'm actually doing some work.
Everybody's got a golden opportunity. If they want to speak directly with Bill, you can get him. But our 800 number is 866-213-1268. You can get directly to us if you want to use that number, or go to our website. You can email any one of us, Han, myself, or Bill.
guys, right. let me take a few seconds and speak directly to our listener. Okay, there is an active discussion on Dentaltown pertaining to what do I do right now? I'm in the middle of planning, I'm in the middle of building, and all that stuff. My advice is put on the brake, reassess what you're doing and how you can address the issues at hand with the virus. If you have to change the plan, this is the time. Okay, don't let it build.
Oh, it's
be built
paper
complete.
Now, so now's the time.
Yeah. Even if it's under construction, the wall can be teared down, rebuilt. Okay, it may cost you a few dollars extra to do it now, than regret for a long time later on the road when you have to do a major renovation. Okay, so take heed, step back, take a look what's going on and how it can be resolved. All right, and if you can't get the answer from your designer or your builder and so on, we can find the answer for you. So call us.
Right, and
that's
we haven't even talked about.
Point well taken.
Yeah, we haven't even talked about, and we're going to be talking about it more in the next show or even the next two shows. Things like materials, flooring, surfaces, doors, windows, everything that goes into putting together an office and how it's going to function and how it's going to change. It's going to change
right.
Now. Guaranteed, it will change.
Yeah, so guys, if you don't want to spend all your time looking at this stuff yourselves, you can pretty much count on it. We're doing it. So, and as you know, everything's in flux. Things are changing as far as rules and regulations and everything that's going on. But we're watching it very, very closely because this is what we do. So, Jim, are we ready to sign off?
Yep, without a doubt. So obviously, want to thank everybody for listening. Hang in there. We're hoping for the best for everyone, and look forward to hearing from you next week, or at least being able to speak with you next week. Give us a call. Give us any of your questions. Han, I'll let you have the last words.
All right. We have fun. I'm looking forward to a lot more of this interesting stuff. They appreciate you spending your hour with us. Until next time.
Yep.
Have a good
Excellent.
Evening.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You, gentlemen.
You've been listening to HJT Design Radio Straight Talk with Jim and Han. To contact us and find out more info about upcoming shows, please log on to our website at www.hjtdesign.com. Until next time.